Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today, and you know you've been with us the past few days that we have been considering Matthew chapter 7, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and his conclusion to that sermon, which talks about, in which he gave a strong discourse on building upon the rock, and two types of builders in the church, two types of builders in the kingdom, those who hear and do and build their house on the rock, those who hear and do not do and build their house on the sand. I said yesterday that today we've become so accustomed to accept any blanket claim to Christianity, regardless of life, that we have filled the church with people of what really could be labeled as antinomians, those who continue in sin that grace may abound, that because they have said a prayer or signed on a dotted line or walked an aisle or whatever it might be, they are Christians, regardless of how they live. And Jesus is dealing with this very strong reality in the Sermon on the Mount, breaking down the religion of the Pharisees, breaking down a certain approach that is presumptive, a certain approach that is trusting in one's own righteousness and works, and he is tearing that down with an all-out assault on this kind of approach to Christianity as he brings an end to the center of his own life. And this sermon, really what it does is so crush that it's intended for the sinner then to drop on his knees, look outside of himself to the righteousness of Christ, embrace him in true faith, have that foundation laid, and then upon that foundation, his whole life would spring forth in works that are pleasing to him. Well, let me continue that discussion today and continue working through this whole grand point here in Matthew chapter 7. Really, looking at this foundation that has been laid, who is Christ, since he is the rock, and then that crucial connection, if one is justified, if one has been justified by faith, sanctification is a necessary outflow of that. Now, Jesus dealt with this here in the Sermon on the Mount, but this is not the only place. We could ask the question today, how do I really know? How can I really know that I'm a Christian? Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount that there are people who hear, but they do not do. Do what? Well, righteousness. Everything that he had been talking about in the sermon. But we could use something that's found in 1 Corinthians 6. In 1 Corinthians 6, the Apostle Paul says the same thing. Do not be deceived. Now, when you read that, what it presupposes is that there are a lot of people saying something different. There are a lot of people teaching something different. Do not be deceived. Don't be deceived about what I'm about to say. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that's homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That is 1 Corinthians 6, and I just quoted 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10. Now, those are the big ones. We could add what Romans 1 adds, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, and we could go on, backbiters, gossips, busybodies. What we're talking about here, when Jesus says they hear and do not do, that crucial issue, is about those living in these things as a common practice of life, even though they say they're Christians. So in a day of superficiality, the question then comes, as Jesus, I believe, went all over the region saying this, calling people to this, count the cost. Have we stopped and listened to Jesus? Hard is the way and difficult is the path that leads to life, and only a few find it. What Jesus essentially says at this point is that the day is going to reveal it here in Matthew chapter 7, that there are these two kinds of lives. So we're not talking about an occasional stumble into sin. Everyone stumbles in many things. People who are truly Christians confess their sin. They do as 1 John says. They fall on their knees. They confess like David did in Psalm 51. They ask for cleansing. They ask Jesus to wash them, to wash their consciences because they need that. And then Jesus again gives them strength to go forward. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about someone who continues in a lifestyle that is directly contrary to what the new birth brings, to what a new life brings. Now, this is what we're dealing with here. What Jesus essentially says at this point is that the day is going to reveal it. So in both cases, in Matthew chapter 7, this is verse 25, and in verse 27, the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, respectively. And the one built on the rock stood firm, but the one on the sand fell. And look at what it says. Great was its fall. So he says, look, the winter is going to come. The rough months are going to come. Jesus makes some sort of distinction here. Rain, floods, wind. God is constantly sending storms to show character. True character always surfaces in times of storms, doesn't it? You ever notice how great trial can teach you so much about yourself and about your neighbor? One day the rain came, Jesus says, hit the house that had been built on the foundation of the rock, and hit the house that had been built on sand. Some disappointment, something in life came crashing down, and just overwhelming grief shook the house. Like Job, those who have a foundation stand. Like Esau, some houses come crashing down. One day the floods came, says Jesus. The world caves in on us. We have great trouble in the world, economic loss, threat of life, like David. Those founded on the rock prevail. But some, like Saul, the house comes crashing down. One day the wind will come. Satan will attack, like Peter, Petros, rock. Since he was hewn upon that rock, Christ prayed for him that his house would not crash. But unlike Judas, who, when Satan attacked, he sold out. He sold out everything and betrayed his Lord. Some houses crash now. 1 Timothy 5:24 says, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. The day is ultimately going to declare. These storms declare it, those days, but ultimately what Jesus is focused upon here is the day of judgment. And many houses will come crashing down. You think of the hard passage, my friends, in 2 Thessalonians 1, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe. How does that make you feel? Let me ask, what kind of effect did this have on the crowds? This Sermon on the Mount. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. They weren't converted. They were literally, now let me give this to you in the Greek, they were literally struck out of themselves. They had never heard anything like it. They had never heard teaching like this. Have you, friends? Are you hearing crushing teaching like this that brings an end to yourselves so that you would look to Christ, fall upon Christ, embrace Christ like all these beggars that came to him? In other words, they were blown out of their minds. Who can say such things? Who has the authority to say such things? And so it was. A sermon like this, a message like this, draws out one of two responses, you know? Martin Lloyd-Jones says, here's the great test for you. If what has been said makes you at all bothered and angry, he says, I'm concerned for you. The false believer always believes he's safe false Christian always believes he's safe. Jones says, you say you've not worried about your sins? Jones says, I believe it. If you're a nominal Christian, the fact that you have not thought about these things is an indication that something is wrong. The Pharisees gnashed their teeth at the teachings of Jesus because he was saying that they, the great religious superpowers who had so much religion, were living in a house of cards, had built on no foundation materials, had built their whole house on sand. Jones adds this, the man who never knows what it is to have certain fears about himself, listen, this is so important. The man who never knows what it is to have certain fears about himself, fears which drive him to Jesus Christ, is in a highly dangerous position. You see, what this does, this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, is make you cry out. Because if it has made you say what the disciples said, Lord, who then can be saved? Remember the rich young ruler came, walked away after Jesus crushed him. The disciples said, this model guy, Lord, who can then be saved? If you've come to that place, do you realize no one in themselves can do it? They're all in misery. We've all fallen. We all built up a house of cards. When you come to that place, you've come to the healthiest place you could be because you're totally emptied of yourself. And then you're ready to hear with man, it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Christ takes the sinner emptied of himself. He sets that sinner on a rock. He is the foundation, Christ. And when Christ, that foundation has been laid, when I come by true faith to rest in him, I have all that I need in him for my salvation. It is then that Christ takes you as the master builder. He, as the master builder, makes you into a vessel of honor. So that the life you live by faith in him, a life of holiness, a life that honors him by loving his commandments. That gives us hope today. Not just that we say that we stand on the solid rock, but that we would show the world, what it means to be planted in him, Christ our rock, our glorious foundation.
Opening up the Word of God that we might let its light shine into our hearts and minds. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We know your time is valuable, and to carve out a few minutes for us means a great deal to us. We thank you for spending time with us. If you would like to contact us here at Abounding Grace, we'd love to hear from you. Your letters of encouragement, your questions, comments, prayer requests, that would mean so much to us to know that you're partnering with us in a prayerful manner such as this. Our desire is to see you grow in Christ, and that's what we've made ourselves available for. 360-318-0429 is our phone number. Again, 360-318-0429. You can also find us on the web, lindenurc.com. A lot of information there about who we are and what we believe. In fact, if you would like to join us for worship, we'll have a map there for you. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Sunday services, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Again, the directions can be found at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. As always, it's a real privilege and a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word, and we look forward to the next opportunity that we'll have to spend time with you once again in God's Word. Until then, God bless.